This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Students have been all over the news in the last few weeks. You gave your support to them a few weeks ago in the US, the students in the US. And since then, their protests have spread like wildfire, mashallah. We've seen encampments spreading across the UK and even Europe. We've had a few calls with ISOCs, different Islamic societies, putting their questions to you. And questions are still coming in from students. So we wanted to take this opportunity, Sheikh, to answer some of their questions and get your advice, particularly from a Shari'i lens. Because, mashallah, the good thing that we've seen is that the students, the Muslim students, have a zeal, you know, to do things the proper way. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, and they're sending in lots of questions. So I want to get some of your invaluable advice, Sheikh. So first of all, Sheikh, what would you say are the Muslim students' responsibilities right now? If you're a student, you're a Muslim student in the UK, for example, or in Europe or whatever, wherever you are in the world, what is your duty as a student?
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. Let me start in an academic way, in a structured way. I know that many of the young people, they wouldn't like this method. However, let me talk to students, university students. They are academic. They understand. They should understand any matter based on a certain framework, not just they want just a quick fatwa. Call the sheikh, what do you think of protest? What do you think of encampments? And they might call a scholar from a country that does not allow any civil engagement. And then obviously that scholar will say, no, this is haram. Or they might say, well, but there is a level of ikhtilat, free mixing. No, it is haram. Don't participate in this. Or maybe they call other scholar who says that, oh, this is not the method of the Salaf, the early scholars. The Sahaba, they didn't do that. No, this is a very shallow. That method is a very shallow method. And actually, it increases the problem rather than it solves the problem. And then, see, I really want to warn our students from doing that, because then it will be like a war of fatwas. Some students call these scholars, and these scholars support what they do. And other students, they will say, no, we called the other scholars, and the other scholars said yes. And then they say, oh, who are the biggest scholars? These are the senior scholars. Some other people say, no, these are sellouts, and no, you cannot rely on them, etc.
So your sheikh versus my sheikh kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Your sheikh versus my sheikh. No, this will not solve the problem. This will not, help our students to understand the situation. Let us start from a very basic level. Now, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, Allah Jalla wa'ala created us to worship him. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَى وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. This is clear that we have sent our prophets to call people to Tawheed. Allah Jalla wa'ala also says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ, I have not created jinn and ins except to worship me. Now, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, worshipping Allah Jalla Ala is of two types. Listed acts of worship, which revolves around the five pillars. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said Islam is built on five pillars, shahadatain, salah, then zakah, siyam, and hajj. So these ibadat are the listed, heavily regulated ibadat. Then anything that meets the higher aims and objectives of Sharia, the entire life is an ibadah for us. Now, here, another important verse that is maybe as equal as وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, as equal as that verse, or maybe similar to it. Allah Jalla wa'ala says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. We have sent the prophets. See, Allah Jalla wa'ala is making it clear that the purpose of the messages of the prophets is what? ليقوم الناس بالقسط, in order for people to establish justice. Now we have ibadah and establishing justice. Okay, are they the same or are they different? Obviously they are the same, but maybe they are two faces for one coin. If you understand ibadah comprehensively, you will be able to establish justice comprehensively. If you want to establish justice comprehensively, then you need to submit to Allah Jalla wa'ala. And that's why we find in the Quran that Allah Jalla wa'ala commanded us to establish justice in many verses. One verse in Surah An-Nisa, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kunu qawwamina bil qisti shuhada ila Allah. O you who believe, establish justice and stand for Allah Jalla wa'ala. Similar verse is found in Surah Al-Ma'idah as well. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kunu qawwamina lillahi shuhada bil qist. Also Allah Jalla wa'ala says, Inna Allah ya'murukum an tu'addu al-amanati ila ahliha wa idha hakamtum bayna an-nasi an tahkumu bil 'adl. Allah Jalla wa'ala commands you to fulfill the rights of people, and when you rule or when you judge something, just judge it according to justice. Allah Jalla wa Ala says in the Quran, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Allah commands us to establish justice and do ihsan and look after our close relatives, and he prohibits indecency, he prohibits injustice and zulm. Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, this is the most comprehensive term on the Quran. Now, this summarizes what Muslims should do in this life. Worshipping Allah Jalla wa'ala, okay, in its broader sense, and with giving attention to the five the five pillars of Islam, and in the meantime, establishing justice. That's why we were commanded to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Allah Jalla Ala, in fact, called us the best of nation because we enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Allah Jalla Ala says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar." You are the best nation enjoining. You are the best nation ever raised to mankind because of what? Because you enjoin the good and forbid the evil. So, what students should do? They should worship Allah Jalla wa'ala, and they should make sure to establish justice. They should make sure to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. They should make sure that whenever they see injustice taking place in the world, they should participate in stopping that. This is our function, my dear brothers and sisters, as Muslims. This is the overarching principle. Now, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil differs from one country to another country, from one situation to another situation. Cut it short, these days, there are some acts that help in enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, such as participating in demonstrations, petitions, writing, lobbying, political lobbying, influencing judiciary, talking to people, coming on social media, using the different media platforms to air your views. Okay, so this is an intrinsic part of our job as Muslims, my dear brothers, my dear sisters. And therefore, if there is any injustice that is taking place in the world, our shabab, our students, they should be the forefront. We as Muslims in general should be at the forefront to stop that injustice, whether this injustice is taking place against Muslims or against non-Muslims. We should be at the forefront. Our students should be also should be more at the forefront. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, Dr. Salman, all of us know the level of injustice that is taking place against our brothers and sisters in Gaza. Many people think that this started in October the 7th. No, This started 70 something years ago. In fact, some others, they say it started before that, before Balfour Declaration, okay, in 1917. So this injustice, and that's why this injustice that is taking place, the occupation and the genocide and the massacres that are taking place by the Zionist forces, the Zionist occupation against our brothers and sisters in Gaza, is the peak of that. Okay, so this is just in a very simple way that there are atrocities, there is a genocide that is taking place against Muslims in Gaza. What are we going to do? Yes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that Allah Jalla wa Ala on the day of resurrection will say to the person, will say to every single one of us, I became ill, you did not visit me. I became hungry, you did not help me. Which means, yeah, and then the man will say, How do you become ill, ya? How do you become ill, ya Allah? How do you become, how do you need help, ya Allah? And then Allah Jalla wa Ala will say, didn't you know that my slave so and so wants help and you didn't help him, you could have done this. Moreover, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, if this is just, we are talking about the people of Gaza, let alone that this is, we forgot the element of that they are Muslims defending their iman, their aqidah, their Islam. Yeah, because if they were to be living under the Zionist occupation, we know that what the Zionist occupation is doing to them. So they are defending their deen. They are defending their land. They are defending their honor. They are defending their lives. Okay, so the least they deserve from us is to stand next to them by all means, to support them as much as we can. As simple as this. Now, defending them takes different forms. Yeah, as we said, enjoining good and forbidding evil takes different forms. Just before I move to the I mentioned the different forms that defending them takes, but I also want to say that they are brothers and sisters. Please, we need to understand. It is very unfortunate that some non-Muslims understood this more than Muslims. They understood this, especially the university students. And then we will talk about university students. They understood that the people of Gaza are standing against the global colonization. Against the global imperialism, against the global injustice, against the global hegemony and control of human beings, of minorities. They are standing for those who want to decide for themselves, for those who want to divide, to live their life according to what they want without harming others, according to their own dignity, and using living on their land, using their resources. So the Gaza became an icon of resisting the global injustice. Yeah, this is how we should understand it. And it is very unfortunate that the Western, many Western media outlet, they are, yesterday the article of BBC, okay, about the encampments, they were talking about the war Israel launched against Hamas, and they are trying to make it as a war between Hamas and Israel, and Israel waged this war against Hamas because Hamas have killed 1,200 people from them and took 200 plus captives. So the point here is that Gaza became an icon for resistance against this global hegemony, global injustice. Now, this makes it, this compels us more and more to stand for this and to support those who are helping the people in Gaza. Why? Okay, besides the fact that they are our brothers and sisters, but we as Muslims suffered a lot from this imperialism, global imperialism. We suffered a lot from colonization. We suffered a lot from those superpowers that are taking advantage against less powerful or powerless nations. So we suffered a lot. We suffered in Afghanistan. We suffered in Yemen. We suffered in Sudan. We suffered in so many places. So in East Turkestan, we suffered in so many places. So now the people of Gaza, they are resisting this. We should be among the people, the first people to support them. Yeah.
Not just that. I mean, just for hundreds of years, I mean, lots of people are calling what's happening here is the last surviving European colony in the Middle East. Yeah. It's the last. It's within that broader narrative of white supremacy and European colonization.
Definitely. And that's why, if we move to the students, to be honest with you, I would like to call them as teachers. Seriously, because they understood the purpose of universities, of these educational institutions, more than others have understood it. What is the purpose of universities? What is the purpose of these educational institutions? The main purpose of these educational institutions to educate people. To educate people to do what? To live in dignity, to preserve their own rights, to maintain human rights, for the world to live in peace, to coexist peacefully, and also to stand any injustice, to stand against any injustice, to stand against genocide, against mass killing, against massacres. So those students have really understood their purpose as students. They understood the purpose of universities, and that's why they are doing whatever they are doing. Yeah,
Sheikh, let's get to some of the questions explicitly. I mean, well, that's a very useful introduction in terms of how we should be thinking. But like you mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna Allah ya'murukum bil'adli wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi." So Allah commands justice and ihsan, but He also, you know, forbids lewdness and immorality.
Indecency, injustice, yeah.
So lots of questions come from students about there being certain, you know, fahsha, certain, you know, alcohol or haram things that are happening at demonstrations. So they might feel, someone might tell them, or they might feel themselves that, you know what, I shouldn't be here, or this is something haram. How should they navigate that? What should be going through their minds? And is this something
problematic? Good. See, the problem is, you know, many Muslims, they made to think in a very micro way. Yeah. And when people think in a very micro way, they wouldn't be able to understand the bigger picture. My dear brothers and sisters, now Islam in general is at threat. Yeah. If the Zionist project won this war, what will happen? They will proceed and they will impose their agenda in all Arab countries, including Saudi Arabia. And then all of us will suffer the consequences of that. All of us will suffer. Which consequences? The ideological consequences. So the very core aqeedah of Muslims now is under threat, my dear brothers and sisters. Okay, so this is one thing. The other thing is that if the Zionist project won, then so many Western countries, they will promote their values more and more. And they will say that, oh, actually, we won because our values are the best values for humanity. And this is what Allah Jalla wa Ala says in the Quran in two verses. He said, as a dua, the believers should say, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. The Ibn Kathir, what did he say about this? He said, oh Allah, don't make us as weak Muslims and don't make the disbelievers overwhelm us, win over us. What will happen? They will think that they won over us because they are what? They believe in the truth and we are on the falsehood. That will stop them from accepting Islam. So the physical defeat has so many ideological consequences, my dear brothers and sisters. Our values will be, they are under threat now, okay? They are threatened now, and there will be more under threat if something happened to, and this Zionist project won. So therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, we should look at this war or invasion or occupation of Gaza from this perspective, let alone what I have said in the just a few minutes ago, that Gaza is becoming an icon for those who want to fight against a global injustice, against a global colony. So now, my dear brothers and sisters, this is a situation of emergency. This is a situation of darura. And we all know that Allah Jalla wa Ala gave certain rulings for darura. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, "Illa man faman ittarra ghayra baghin wala adin illa ma ittarirtum ilay." The principle of darura. Yes, the Quran is focusing on the principle of eating haram meat or haram food in situations of necessity or emergency situations, but the Quran is using this as a sample of emergency, the impact of emergency or rulings. So emergency necessity will relax certain rulings. And my dear brothers and sisters, see, once we say relaxing certain rulings, I'm not saying that go and drink and dance with them. I am saying that don't look at what is happening now and your engagement, and don't measure things according to what you read about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, what happened to the, or what was happening in Medina and during the time of Sahaba, which is the puritanical version of Islam. Yeah, don't compare our situation now with that situation. Otherwise, you will not be able to understand so many things. You will not be able to engage. You will not be able to do anything, because everything around us, not here in the UK, but even in Muslim countries, everything from that perspective, if you look at it from that perspective, will be considered haram. So what to do?
Not only that, we'll be not faithful to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might want in a particular situation by trying to copy one situation. It might not be the relevant fatwa in another situation.
Yes, and this actually makes the deen of Allah Jalla Ala irrelevant. Yeah, irrelevant. Why? Because you cannot apply it, and then you yourself will say to yourself, well, the deen of Allah Jalla Ala cannot be implemented now. It is not because the deen of Allah Jalla Ala cannot be implemented now. No, the deen of Allah Jalla Ala can be implemented. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة at any time, at any point. أفتؤمنون ببعض الكتاب وتكفرون ببعض. You believe in some elements of the book and you disbelieve in others. Should be implemented anywhere, anytime. ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون فأولئك هم الظالمون فأولئك هم الفاسقون إن الحكم إلا لله. So many verses that command us to rule by the law of Allah Jalla Ala. But Allah Jalla Ala is the one who revealed this book to be applicable, to be implemented in all circumstances. So this is something that is so crucial. So we should not look, yani what I'm saying here is, first of all, let us change the glasses that we are looking at things. Yeah?
A mindset.
If we don't change that mindset, we will be struggling. Yeah.
Don't look at the obstacles that might be in the way. But definitely. Look at what does Allah want you to do? What's the most urgent thing right now?
Exactly. This is another important point. I would like to comment on that. But just before that, I was saying that once you change your mindset, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, then you will understand things correctly. And be careful. We are not saying that, okay, for the brothers, yeah, let us go and have parties. At night they are having parties, they are drinking, they are, yeah, and just participate in that for our sisters to go and intermingle with the boys, and maybe they will commit something haram. No, we are not saying that. But what we are saying is that, first of all, it changed your mindset, number one. Number two, the point that you have mentioned, which is look at success before obstacles. Now, when we want to participate, when we want to do something, we will find 100 ways in order to avoid the haram. So, and many brothers have said that, we went to the people in charge of they said we went to the students who are in charge of those movements and those activities, and we said to them, we are Muslims and we cannot participate in. We appreciate if you don't drink alcohol, if you don't do this and that. And they were welcomed. They were welcomed and appreciated. Yeah. Especially when you show that you really want to do something and you supported them. You are not just coming for kalam, for just talking. So when
there is a will, there's a way.
There is a way, exactly. When there is a will, there is a way. And Muslims, my dear brothers and sisters, Muslims as leaders should not always think of obstacles. Yeah, we always say that leaders think of success. Leaders think of goals before they think of the obstacles. Because if your mindset is to think about obstacles, you will not achieve anything. Mm. Yeah.
Dr. Khair Sheikh, there's a slightly related question, which is, So you talked about what might be happening there. Some people might be playing music, inappropriate music, or drinking or remixing inappropriate slogans. That's the stuff that's happening there, and you can if you're there, if you're at the table, you can try and carve a space which is free from some of these things, and tell them, for example, don't drink here or don't do this here or whatever. And we found that normally they're happy to accommodate. But what about when it comes to the people that you're cooperating with?
One point about this, Dr. Salman. We really need to blame ourselves, because if we don't take the initiative, if we don't fill the vacuum, other people will fulfill the vacuum, okay? Mm-hmm. Will fill the vacuum, will fulfill the needs. And then once we try to follow up, then we are too late. The scene has been set, okay? So we should not blame others when they take initiatives according to their own terms. That's why we always say, brothers and sisters, Muslims should take initiative. Muslims should be brave. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Anas ibn Malik described him, he said that he used to be the most generous person and the bravest person. Okay. And we are not saying, by the way, that, okay, go break the law, the cause harm to other people, vandalize that. Okay. No. We are civilized people. We can participate in these protests, in these encampments. We can raise our concerns about the contribution of the university in the researches that are taking place, you know, by the Zionist states, the support of the genocide, the different types of investments. Okay, and it has been proven that these movements have been successful. Okay, and they worked. It worked.
Before we get on to that, Sheikh, so what about, so there's some questions coming about, okay, there are people there who are, you know, we disagree with, there might be people with different ideologies and LGBT groups and feminists and secularists or whatever, any lefties that, you know, you might agree with them on some things, but you disagree with them on other things.
Yeah.
What's your view on that in terms of not just being there, but actually being promoting it and being joint ventures with like Islamic societies and stuff like that?
Yeah. See, first of all, the brothers in another country, they asked me about the same thing. I said, brothers and sisters, their presence, okay, the presence of certain ideological groups, social groups that we disagree, fundamentally disagree with, their presence there, that we, it is not in our hand, and it doesn't mean that we are endorsing those ideologies, whether political ideology, social ideology, etc. It doesn't mean that, okay? And we can agree, with the also the organizers that, you know, this issue is a bit sensitive for us. So let us have a way where we can come up with common terms. Okay. Yeah. And that's it. We cannot do anything with it. It is there. Yeah. It is everywhere. It is protected by law. You disagree with it ideologically, it doesn't mean that they will not be there, okay? And by the way, here, you know, I was, let me mention this, okay? I was in a Muslim majority country, last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. And we were in a university, in one of the, if not the biggest university in that country, I don't want to name it. I passed by, I was with some brothers, we passed by an encampment as well, in front of what the director's office. So I started to film it. I thought that they are protesting against the Zionist state. They are pushing their university as we are doing here in the UK, or as people are doing it in America. Students are doing it in America. And then while I was filming them, a lady came, or a young girl came, and she was speaking that language. And I understood from the brothers that she is objecting with filming. So I said to her, do you speak English? She said, little bit. I told her that you are in a public place, okay? We should film you. She said, no, we don't want any problems with the university. And What I asked the brothers, what are those? They are not in support of Palestine. They told me, look, and then there was the LGBTQ flag. Yeah, they said that they are supporting this and they are supporting having concerts in the university. The university used to have some of these big concerts, not the LGBT one, but just general musical concerts, dancing, etc. The university, for some financial reasons and security reasons, stopped doing these concerts. So those students are protesting against the university. They don't want to be filmed. They don't want their identities to be, you know, disclosed to the media. Anyway, many of them, they look like, you know, the lefties and some of them hippies and etc. So a group of them, of boys and girls, they were surrounding me and we started a discussion. So I said to them, are all of you belong to this country? So one of them, he said, no, I don't belong to this country. I belong to other ethnicity. I said, but that ethnicity is the same as this country. So anyway, I told them I am, you know, a doctor from the UK, and I would like to engage with you in a discussion. They said, yeah, you are most welcome. I extended hands to shake hands with the men, of course. And they were smiling. We left, and I was about to go back to them. The brothers with me, they told me that, oh, Sheikh, wallahi, this is amazing, because if it was for us, we would just engage with them in a physical fight. I said, no need. Don't think that even if they are marching for LGBTQ, that they are like this themselves. But they believe that these the LGBTQ, etc., is a minority that needs to be supported, and we need to support them. Themselves, maybe they don't do the acts, the prohibited Islamic, the prohibited acts from an Islamic perspective. What I want is that brothers, ancestors, even those who are marching and supporting LGBTQ, still you can engage with them in a civilized discussion. Many of them, they just joined these groups because they found that they want to defend any minority. And the only people who are defending these minorities are the lefties. And that's why they ended up under the same banner. Yeah. So we are confident of who we are. We are confident of what we are about, of our values. Okay. So we can still engage with those people in a very civilized discussion.
Even doing kind of joint platforms, joint events?
No, joint platforms, joint events, because it has some other negative consequences. We don't need to do that. Okay, we need to do that. But we can engage with them with some discussions. And see, say, my dear brothers and sisters, after Gaza, we need to change the way we do da'wah. Okay, why is this? Because it has been proven that the vast majority of young people, especially young people, when they see the truth, they are willing to accept it. Okay, and they are not quote unquote evil. Yeah. They are decent people. They want to stand for justice. And so they have rights over us as Muslims. They have rights over us to pass the message of Islam to them and to see them along with us in Jannah. I believe that this is obligatory. So our language, our discourse, the way we approach them, we approach da'wah, should be different after Gaza. I force myself to change, to be more understanding of the young people, to be more accommodating of the young people. I fundamentally disagree with certain ideologies, with certain social norms. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that I cannot engage with them, does not mean that I feel that they are evil people and we cannot engage with them except except after we using a harsh language against them, etc. I think, yeah, I myself, I'm saying it openly. I have to, I am trying to change. I'm forcing myself to change because the post-Gaza is not like before Gaza.
Yeah. So I've heard you also say that the reason why lots of people, young people who are, you know, pro-justice and want to speak out against injustice, the reason why they gravitate to the left is because the Muslims are absent in these spaces.
Exactly.
So it's like a vacuum.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there was a vacuum. They filled it. And as I always say that, don't blame others when they jump to fill any gap. Yeah?
Mm.
As simple as this.
So, Sheikh, in terms of that point you mentioned about joint events and kind of promoting something, because this is something that Islamic societies are asking as well. So are you saying that you don't think Islamic societies should join officially these encampments? What if they're just societies?
No. I'm not saying this. I'm not saying that they cannot join these encampments. I'm saying, no, they should join. Okay. They should join. And
even if it means officially putting your logo there
They should join, they should show their presence, okay, mm-hmm. They should put their banners, but I am saying that they can have an agreement with other groups, yeah, to maybe remove those banners that might cause embarrass the Muslim community, they might cause harm for the Muslim community. Yeah, they can do that. I am saying that there is a way to talk to them. Even I am saying that if there is like a big gathering and there are certain ideological groups, social group that they have their own banners that we fundamentally disagree with, and then we can have our own camp there. Okay. In another place, and we can have our own banners. That, this is what I'm saying. That doesn't mean that I am endorsing them. They are not they are endorsing me. We are endorsing the purpose, which is what? To support our people in Gaza, to put pressure, okay, to put pressure on universities to divest in their agreements with the Zionist entity. Mm-hmm. And many universities, including Cambridge, maybe you have heard the news yesterday, the Trinity College in Cambridge, they agreed to negotiate something with the students.
They voted to divest from all arms companies.
Okay, yeah, so this is really, this is in of itself is a victory, brothers and sisters. Yeah. And once we want to achieve that victory, minor things can be overlooked, brothers and sisters. And Allah Jalla wa'ala says, فَمَنْ اِطْطُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَادٍ. The one who was involved in something haram, not because he wants to do the haram. Yeah. غَيْرَ بَاغٍ. He is not intending the haram, he's not in favor of the haram, and he's not complicit with the haram. Yeah, what he done it or he participated in something where there is a haram because of necessity, because of darura. Yeah, and imagine, I think the branch of Trinity in Ireland, I think, was it in Ireland? You know, I was reading a lot about that. One of the universities in Ireland, they cut ties, okay, with the Israeli universities, and they are the students in America. Wallahi, to be honest with you, these students, they should be saluted. As I said, they are the teachers, yeah. and they are the future of this world. And that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, please, please wake up the whole world. We have millions of Muslims who have been targeted. Their aqidah is being targeted. Our ideology, our Islam is under threat. Thousands of people have been killed and their land will be confiscated from them. And we are still arguing whether attending demonstrations is halal or haram. Can we attend demonstrations or not? This is micro thinking, yeah, in a context where macro threats are taking place against the ummah. You know, micro thinking in facing macro threats, this is madness, my dear brothers and sisters. So when those universities put pressure on the Zionist state, this is a big achievement, and that's why I am really proud of those students who are participating in these encampments, in these demonstrations, and protesting until they see a level of justice taking place. Yeah,
I mean, I think it was Norman Finkelstein. He said the only reason that Biden even changed his tune now in terms of pausing some shipments of weapons to the Zionist entity is because of the students at Columbia and, you know, different universities in the U.S.
This is a high possibility. See, brothers and sisters, please wake up. The whole world is at shock. You know, even us, yeah, we were shocked that this Z generation or the TikTok generation, and yeah, they have been brainwashed. But it has been proven that they are not fully brainwashed. Yeah, this is a shock. And who has ever thought that there will be people, academic people in the heart of America, the elite people, the elite students in Columbia University and here in LSE and SOAS and many other universities, and even in France, they will openly, be anti the Zionist state, talking about the Israel aggression, massacre, genocide. We have never, ever thought of this. And I, as one of the thinkers have said, that if Palestinians worked maybe for the last 50 years to achieve this, they wouldn't be able to achieve it. But of course, Allah Jalla Ala is the best planner. Yeah.
So Sheikh, you mentioned there's so many ways to enjoin good, forbid the evil. There's so many ways to speak out against what's happening to brothers and sisters in Gaza. Why not just avoid these encampments? If there is something dodgy happening next to them, what some people might say, well, I can do other things. I can write a letter. I can, you know, post things online. I'm not going to go to those.
Yeah, see, to be honest with you, Dr. Salman, those people who want to do something, they will not be critical in joining these encampments. It is actually the passive people. The passive people, because as I said, this is what I'm trying to focus on. It is a mindset. If you have a negative quietism. Mindset,
quietism.
Yeah, this is the mindset, because they don't want to say anything. I met a brother and he was saying that, no, actually, you know, I asked some of the shuyukh and they said, make dua and give sadaqah. I said, Habibi, look at the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What his seerah, yeah, in the Madani seerah, was he making dua only? Yeah, was not he engaged in the battle of Badr, Uhud, 20, some scholars said 25 battles? Wasn't he talking to the leaders of the nations, the Roman Empire to the Persian Empire? Yeah. Was he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just making dua and giving sadaqah? Is this what Allah jalla wa ala told us to do? No way. This is a very passive, un-Islamic way. And Allah Jalla wa Ala said, وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ. Prepare. قُوَّة. Yeah? So any قُوَّة, any power is needed. Okay? Beside, we are not saying that don't make dua, don't go to salah, don't give sadaqah. No, we said beside that, we need activism. Activism is a form of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. If you see a person raping a lady, yeah, and what are you going to do? You will say, Ya Allah, stop him from raping her. Ya Allah, stop him from raping her. You might be sinful. You might be making dua and sinful because of that, because dua at that time is not what Allah Ta'ala wants from you at that time. This scholar said that if you were fasting and you saw a person and you want to help him, you cannot help him except by breaking your fast. You must break your fast in order to save his life. Okay, this is our deen. Our deen is a deen of activism. Why we were the best of nations? Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, because we pray and we make dua. No, Allah Jalla Ala mentioned the first qualities: ta'muruna bil ma'roof wa tanhauna 'anil munkar. Yeah, and that's why. See, why I'm mentioning these things? Because many of the young people, they cannot think but in a micro way. Mm. And they are unable to understand the bigger picture. They cannot understand the bigger obligations that Allah Jalla Ala obliged us to do. And by the way, you know, I mentioned to some brothers, I said, now in Mecca, was there shirk in Mecca? Yeah. Were there idols in Mecca? Were people worshipping other than that in Mecca? Doing tawaf, okay, based on shirk in Mecca? Yes or no, Dr. Salman? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam witnessed all of these things or not?
Of course.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have taken an axe and destroy all these idols. Yes or no?
Yeah.
But he didn't do that. Yes or no? Okay. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca participated with his uncles and some of the dignitaries in something called Al-Fudul. Al-Fudul Treaty. Yeah. Al-Fudul Treaty, where some of the dignitaries came and they took like an agreement or a treaty to stop injustice that is taking place or that might take place against the expats or the foreigners who come for Hajj in Mecca. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say that unless they become Islam, unless they destroy the idols, I cannot participate in this kind of a treaty and agreement. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was participating also in the story of Abu Jahl. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Abu Jahl and he commanded him, he threatened him that he has to give that poor person his right. Allah Jalla wa Ala also says in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Dr. Salman, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ الْيَوْمِ الْعَظِيمِ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This surah is a Mecca surah where it was revealed in Mecca. Mecca, were they Muslims?
Majority, no.
Majority, no. The system. Was it an Islamic system?
No.
No. Okay, it was actually a system that is Islamophobic, if we want to use this expression. Yet Allah Jalla wa Ala revealed certain rulings regarding what? Regarding cheating and dealing with people unjustly. Yeah, we cannot say unless people endorse Tawheed, we cannot participate in enjoining the good and forbidding the evil.
Like Shu'aib alayhi salam, you would say, وَلَا تَبْخَصُوا النَّاسَ إِشْيَاءَهُم. Don't cheat people.
Shu'aib alayhi salam, exactly. Yeah. Shu'aib alayhi salam, قَالْ إِنْ أُرِيدُ إِلَّا الْإِصْلَاحَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ. Shu'aib alayhi salam was commanding people or calling people to Tawheed, and in the meantime he said, وَلَا تَبْخَصُوا النَّاسَ إِشْيَاءَهُم وَلَا تَعْثَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. Don't cheat. Don't cause harm. Don't cause injustice. Yeah.
So what I'm getting here is, even if you do, if somebody does, someone shouldn't look in the micro only, they should look at the bigger picture. But even if you look at individual rulings and so forth, include this as well into your calculation, that not doing something, not joining these encampments might be a greater harm, might be a greater sin on you if you have an ability to do something and you didn't do it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. See, the issue is you need to look at it from different angles. If you are unable to look at it from a macro perspective or all angles, look at it from different angles, and you will see that it is not as you are imagining it, that, oh, yeah, but if there is free mixing there. Okay, there are. I was saying yesterday on Islam Channel, I said, okay, brothers, ancestors, in these demonstrations, you know, there are so many Muslims who have, you know, clean shape. They don't grow their beards. Okay? Yeah? Now, we know that growing the beard is the practice of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, grow your beard, etc. Okay? Can we say that, oh, we cannot participate with them unless they grow their beards? Can we say that, okay, we cannot participate with sisters unless they wear proper hijab? Yeah? We cannot, brothers and sisters, don't think in this idealistic, unrealistic way. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And even, sorry, it is even not idealistic. No dalil from Quran and Sunnah that you cannot do this. Okay? Now, some people say, I disagree with, okay, not wearing hijab and shaving your beard. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that they are still trying to participate in enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Okay? We say that the whole ummah is in need of the whole ummah, brothers and sisters, now.
Mm.
Yeah? In fact, the ummah is in need of those who share with the ummah, yeah, key aims and objectives of Sharia, such as establishing justice and stopping injustice.
Mm. This is linked to another question, Sheikh, which is, do we have to make inkar of every munkar if you see these things happening?
Exactly.
We have to speak out against it at that time.
Who said that we should do inkar of every single munkar? I mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was witnessing the idols worshipped in Mecca. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. People were worshipping idols. No need to mention any other, you know, munkars. This is khalas. This is al-kufr al-akbar.
Mm.
Yeah? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was enjoining the good and forbidding the evil indirectly.
He had a broader strategy, you could say.
A broader strategy, exactly. Exactly. So that strategy will end up in stopping worshipping idols. And many of the young brothers and sisters, they want a quick fix. Yeah. They think in a very micro way, just in a tunneled way, one way, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil is this way. You see a person, you just go and shout, yeah, this is haram, I cannot do this, okay, I cannot stand with you, etc., etc., etc. Yeah. It won't work.
We should be careful though, Sheikh, that we don't paint the brothers and sisters on the in the ISOC that are all like that. I mean, although there might be some voices like that, I mean, we're seeing dozens and dozens of...
I have to say that the vast majority, I'm really very proud of our brothers and sisters in general, the young brothers and sisters. Yeah, I'm really proud of them. Most of them are participating in this. Most of them are supporting. And most of them are supporting those students. I would like just to add a few points that, you know, we should support those students, Muslims and non-Muslims. We should support them politically. Yeah, we should speak about what they are doing. Let the whole world know what they are doing. They are not breaking the law. We should also support them, even financially, you know. They might need food. Okay, I heard that the food, some camps, they stopped them from going out or coming in. And the brothers, they are smuggling the food through the, you know, the tunnel. Fence. Yeah, okay, no tunnel, through the fence. What can they do? Yeah, help them. Go, you know, go maybe ask them, do they need clothes? They need their clothes to be washed. Do they need maybe their phones to be charged? Maybe support them. And even, you know, we should show some of the elderly people going, speaking to them, showing them support, maybe preparing some food. Yani, and I heard that in America, some of the Palestinian families are providing, you know, some Palestinian food, maqlouba and others for those students, which is a good, you know, a good gest. Okay, so something like this has to be done, my dear brothers and sisters. Yeah,
I wanted to ask you actually about this. I mean, we spent too much time on the fiqh than I would like to have, but I think it's important because people are asking these questions. But in summary, don't look at the kind of micro rulings or micro haram that might be present incidentally. You're not going for that purpose. You're going for a much more important purpose. And if you don't go, you know, it's a bigger evil. It's a bigger harm. As you said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might take us to account for our inaction in certain times of acute crises like this, lesser of two evils, that kind of thing. But in terms of practical advice now, one of the questions is, do the students, do they need permission from their parents? And what advice do you have to their parents? Because a lot of people might be afraid that, I would like to do this, but you know, what my parents think, and there might be a risk of us.
See, let us be here. Okay, some people did ask me this question. I said to them, mashallah, you are yani goody, goody, goody. You don't do anything without the permission of your father. Come on, man. When this came, you started to say, well, what about my father's permission? You find you can't. If there is a will, there is a way. Simple. Okay, let us not get into that. Go and speak to your father. And here, I would like to say to parents, support your children. Okay, support your children. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Unsur akhaka zaliman aw maghruma. Aid your brother, whether he is an oppressor or he is oppressed. How to support him when he is an oppressor? By stopping him from oppression. Yeah? Because he is oppressing someone. So, and then, what about if he is oppressed? Then support him. They are doing this, my dear parents. So you should support your children, and you should be proud of your children, that they are building the future of our ummah, my dear brothers, my dear sisters. Yeah. So participating in those, supporting those incumbent students socially, politically, financially, etc., in order for them to continue. Yeah.
Legally.
Legally, of course. Yeah, of course.
Because the Sheikh, the reason I mention that is one of the questions that we've gotten is maybe a sensitive one, and that is some encampments that have been there for a few weeks, there's a sense of restlessness that, you know, the whole point of it is to cause discomfort, cause some disruption. You mentioned, you know, they're not breaking the law. should they break the law? Maybe certain things, you know, not necessarily breaking the law, but breaking the rules of the university, right? So,
so this
getting
is
in trouble with the university.
The students, I believe, that they are mature enough to have the best judgment. Okay. So I don't like to get into these things, but they should not harm anyone. Yeah. They should not vandalize. They should not break the main laws that, you know, protect the peaceful setup of the state of the people. Okay. So
public safety,
public safety, etc. And they are not doing that. They are not doing that. Maybe they are breaking maybe certain rules. Okay. And these rules are not big enough. Okay. Or they are not key rules. This is, you know,
like disturbing graduation ceremony or, you know,
this is, this is maybe, I think this is, yani, all come under legal protesting. Okay, legal civil engagement. So the students, they are mature enough to have the best judgment. We say in general, don't break the law, don't vandalize, don't cause harm to yourself, to others. These are our universities. You are going to study in those universities. Other people are benefiting the universities, and you know,
So you know, the students should make their own choices. They should consult with each other and local.
There are some, you know, there are some teachers who are, you know, supporting them. Some teachers. So those teachers are mature enough to have the right decision. Okay, have the right consultations. It's not up to me while I am here. Okay,
are they radical enough to, you know?
I don't call this as radicalization. I just say that they are just human beings acting according to their human nature. As a human being, when you see injustice taking place, you will do something. They have not been sterilized. They have not been pacified. This is why the world is shocked. Okay, because they thought that, oh, we have domesticated them, we have controlled them, we have sterilized them, so they cannot do anything except what the state wants from them. Otherwise they are acting as just simple human beings.
And mashallah, they're making us all proud. I don't want to kind of focus too much on the fiqh, but this question has been coming a lot. Sisters want to be part of this as well as much as possible. What do you say? What's your advice to them? Is it the same as the brothers?
Sisters, if they can find, you know, an environment that there is a good level of protection and for the sisters, and a good level of modesty. And their parents allow them to do that, and I encourage the parents to be lenient, okay, and considerate. I think, why not? Sisters, this is again, one sister asked me, I said, mashallah, sister, again, you are very goody-goody. You do whatever you want to do. You travel to other countries, even without mahram, when with your friends. When it came to participating in something that is really that helping to enjoy the good and forbidding the evil, you started to be, you know, worried about it. Of course, I'm not saying that they should be they should risk their iman, they should risk their dignity, they as sisters, they should risk their safety. No, but if there is a will, there is a way.
And one of the brothers, Ustad Abu Hanifa, he said he's been at some of these encampments as well, mashallah, and some of the other asatida and the mashayikh. They've been saying that every situation is different. Every university is different. It depends, you know, the salah and the kind of safe spaces and the spirit areas for sisters. Yeah. Well, one thing that's common across everything is the fact that the more Muslims are there, and the earlier Muslims get there, the more, you know, these symbols of Islam will be respected.
Exactly, exactly. And this is our cause. And this is, brothers and sisters, come on. We are the ummah of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Yeah? We were selected by Allah Jalla Ala for this. And then we are the last people to do this, let alone that these, we are supporting the cause, the very cause for ourselves as Muslims in Gaza, in Palestine.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. I've taken a lot of your time. I think we've got through pretty much all of the questions. We kind of combined some of them as well, alhamdulillah. We've got a lot of respect, and we're very proud for of all the students, mashallah.
Yes, definitely. Wallah, very proud. Very proud of those mm-hmm. students. I talk about them in front of, you know, I'm traveling a lot these days. I'm talking about them in front of all people from all countries. And everyone is really proud of, you know, in particular, British and American students. Yeah, Muslims and non-Muslims. Yeah,
mashallah, tabarakallah. And we all have a duty to support them as much as we can.
Yes.
You know, helping out, offering water, food, tents, helping, especially if you're a lawyer, you've got some, you can give legal advice. You can, if they get in trouble, if they get kicked out, you can help them and, you know, offer pro bono advice and so forth. And mashallah, the community is coming together. So we really do look forward to, you know, the impact they're having. Alhamdulillah, it's having a big impact. You know, we're seeing, a domino effect of defense, so-called defense companies being divested by the permission of Allah, alhamdulillah.
So, and I advise them, alhamdulillah, they are doing that, to be united, okay? To be careful not to be played on and just going against each other. They should be very careful and remain united, remain mature, consult, okay? Do things in a measured way.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh, for all your time. We'll let you go now, inshallah.
Jazakallah khairan.
And jazakallah khairan to you for watching at home. If you like this podcast, give it a like and a share. If there are some questions that we didn't cover that you still have, let us know in the comments below. And that's it from me and the Islam Truancy team. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.